Last month, Teach for Canada held a launch event at a Toronto law office. The organization wants to recruit and train young university graduates to work as teachers in what it says are Canada's most challenging schools, in rural, remote, and Aboriginal communities. Paul Olson is the president of the Manitoba Teachers Society, the union that represents 15,000 public school teachers in Manitoba, and he joins me now in the studio. Welcome back, Paul.
Hey, thank you.
I want to start by talking about the need for teachers in Manitoba, because part of Teach for Canada is about that there is a shortage of teachers in particular communities. And I know in urban areas, especially in Winnipeg, there's not a shortage of trained teachers with many unemployed education graduates. But is there a shortage of teachers in the communities that Teach for Canada says it's going to target?
I don't know that we've got really good data on that, but you're quite right that inside the perimeter, if anything, there's quite a surplus of people looking for work, and in more remote areas of the province and of the country, it is going to be an issue. It is hard to attract staff. It is hard to retain staff. Part of that is about isolation, being far from family. Part of that is about widely varying levels of resources. It doesn't really help to know how to teach if you don't have the stuff you need in order to do that. And that's pretty toxic after a while. So people have a hard time teaching in those kinds of areas. So there are a lot of factors at play, a lot of moving parts. But yeah, that is part of the dynamic.
And it would seem in communities that would lack resources and that would have maybe a higher need for higher quality education, you wouldn't want to send the least trained teachers to those areas.
No, it was news to me that the launch was actually at a law office. I think that speaks volumes. So thank you for that. That's going to make me smile all the way home tonight. The dilemma, understandably, even if you took the view that this was a well-meant or well-intentioned program, and I have to be honest, I don't, even if you did take that view, you're sending people who are fundamentally uneducated and untrained in education into extremely high-needs areas. So honestly, if you proposed that kind of notion in any law program or business program or education program I know of, you'd get an F back on that paper. Hi, I'd like to send really underqualified people into the toughest possible jobs, and let's hope that goes well. I mean, that's seven different kinds of silly. So that's something that clearly somebody would need to explain a little better to me why they think that's a good idea, but I haven't heard any particularly good arguments as yet.
There isn't much available on Teach for Canada, but I did read an interview with one of the founders where he talked about doing this work as being an alternative to doing development work, and he said in places like sub-Saharan Africa. And I just wanted to talk about the concerns about promoting teaching as volunteerism, or, you know, as a type of development work that you do for a short period of time rather than a lifelong profession.
Yeah, that presses just about every button I've got, because in terms of deprofessionalizing what is very much a profession, it'd be pretty hard to get any worse than that. But even if I was not completely offended as a teacher, I'd be outraged as a parent that you thought that somebody could look at my kid and think, well, you know, I really want to sell cars, but what the heck, for a couple of years I'll teach school, and think that that's going to do my kids any good. And then the broader issue is the notion that you can send these almost completely untrained, uneducated people into these high-needs areas and not cause more damage than you could ever possibly do good. And it's not just localized. If someone goes in and does a mediocre or a terrible job, they haven't just shortchanged those kids. The next time a teacher comes in, they have to compete with that legacy and the echoes of that. And so the trust is diminished even further, and it makes it worse and worse year over year, teacher over teacher. So this quaint notion of I'm going to do this for 2 years and then go off and do my graduate work somewhere completely ignores the fact that you've left a wake of wreckage behind you that other people have to cope with, and it lands primarily on the kids that you claim you're trying to help out. So this is toxic, and it's destructive in all kinds of ways.
Although there's not much on Teach for Canada, it seems to be modeled after the Teach for America program, which was founded more than 20 years ago. Similar type model, placing university graduates with little training. In the U.S., it's in mostly inner city schools rather than in rural or remote communities. And some of the criticism I have read, and especially from educators and Black educators, is that you have a program where you have mostly white graduates of elite colleges going into schools with mostly black students as very short-term teachers, and then also replacing longer-term teachers and often black teachers from that community. And I just wanted to talk about how in Canada we could have, you know, similar problems, especially with First Nations communities.
Well, you certainly could, and I don't know how much time we've got tonight, but this does buy really well into the whole neoliberal agenda around, you know, if you simply work harder, try harder, and get well educated, you can make it. Completely ignoring notions of socioeconomic status and family of origin and community resources or lack thereof. And so it actually perpetuates the myth, at least in the minds of the teachers involved, or I guess I honestly don't think of these people as teachers. I would call them something else. I don't really have the proper term for it. But they go in with the notion that if only these kids were really well taught, somehow their lives would turn around and this can be a transformative thing. And I'll tell you, I've been a teacher for since 1990. I've given much of my life to public education, but education, while an incredibly important force for social change, is not the only game in town. You create a really, I mean, even if somehow by some magical activity you could create incredibly well-educated kids in a completely marginalized community, what you would have would be people who could explain very articulately using a variety of media exactly how screwed they are because there are no economic opportunities or any other social opportunities for them in that area. Education is a big piece, but it cannot compensate for all that. It just can't, which is part of why people are going into Teach for America in the first place, because they're coming out of universities with good degrees and they're looking around and the only employment opportunities they have involve, do you want fries with that? And so this is a reasonable alternative for many new graduates to an unpaid internship, which are growing like cancer. New graduates are being used as fodder, and this looks like a reasonable path for them. So in some ways, despite the marketing, this is actually preying upon idealistic new grads who genuinely often do want to make a difference and do want to do the right thing, and they're ending up getting used.
I think another thing that seems to be happening in the U.S. is that Teach for America, as well as other sort of more neoliberal models like charter schools, are being used in places to undermine unionized teachers and teachers' unions in public schools. And I know Teach for America has been heavily put in New Orleans post-Katrina and also in Chicago. It was used during the school strike. Would you have concerns that politicians here in Canada would use a program like this as a way to bust teachers' unions?
I could definitely see that happening. Right now in Manitoba, there really is no such climate that I'm aware of. You're looking at a government that really does respect the professionalism of Manitoba's teachers. I mean, we always work to improve, and you're never satisfied. That's the mark of a professional. It can always get better. But certainly in other jurisdictions in this country, that kind of noise is happening. We are hearing that from ministries of education. We're hearing that from premiers. So I don't think it would be much of a stretch to think that that this kind of thing might be on the radar screen. Alberta has just approved 25 P3 schools, so public-private partnerships. Instead of public schools, they're actually setting up, triple Ps. In Saskatchewan, right next door to us, they're looking at setting up 9 of those. None of those exist in Manitoba currently, but that can depend on the politics and the governments of the day.
Is there any protection here in Manitoba or elsewhere in Canada around who's able to teach, around certification and educational requirements that would block having untrained teachers or recruits or whatever you want to call them coming into public schools?
Yeah, the protections are as good as the government or the cabinet of the day. For the most part, the bare minimum requirement in Canada, regardless of jurisdiction, is a bachelor's degree in education. Many of us, of course, have graduate credentials in any number of ways. But in rare cases where you do have somebody who has a very particular skill, perhaps a vocational or a technical field at the middle or high school level, they will get temporary certificates that will allow them to teach in a school system. And there is an expectation that so far as possible, they will access actual professional accreditation as teachers. So that certainly does happen. But broadly speaking, the baseline in Canada is typically a 5-year degree. And that's considered a minimum in Manitoba.
Thank you very much, Paul, for coming in today.
Really appreciate it. Thank you.
I've been speaking with Paul Olson. He's the president of the Manitoba Teachers Society, and you're listening to Mud & Water on CKUW 95.9 FM.